Okay, so this morning I just want to take some time just to look at the book of Ruth. I was reading through it this week and enjoying again reading that story and just seeing how God is involved in our lives in very real ways. As you know, the book of Ruth is a very short book. There are only four chapters. I did toy with the idea of just reading the whole book to you, but I thought maybe not. But can I encourage you when you go home or sometime this week that you just take 10 minutes just to read through the whole book as one story, because I think no matter where you stop in it, you're missing something. So just try reading it through and you get the whole gist and flavour of what's going on. But just as a bit of a recap for you to remind you about it, there are only two books in the Bible that have women's names. One is Ruth, the other is Esther. And I thought, you know, I wonder what warranted this book to be included, these four little chapters here, because although it's a lovely story, it's sort of a strange one to be slotted in between, you know, after Judges and all the fighting and terrible things that were happening, the comings and goings and the ins and outs. And then we find this little book here, this little book of Ruth. But actually, it's a key story because it sets the scene for what's to come later, or rather, who is to come later, starting with David and then ultimately Jesus. So four little chapters, yet really significant in the Bible. So, as you know, the book of Ruth, it begins with an Israelite family. There is Elimelech, who is the father. There's Naomi, the wife, and they have two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And there's a terrible famine in the land, and Elimelech decides that he is going to take his family out of Israel into Moab. Now, for any of you that know your Old Testament history, you will know that Moab is one of the lands that God warns the Israelites about. And he says to them, don't have anything to do with them. Don't marry into them. Don't have any involvement, because they have lots of idols. And the way that they worship their idols were terrible. And God says, don't have anything to do with them. Because every time the Israelites got involved with them, they would follow their gods. They would turn away from God. But here we see Elimelech actually choosing to do that, to go into Moab. So the story doesn't have the best of beginnings, and it gets worse. Because they go into the land and tragedy strikes. Elimelech dies. And both of Naomi's sons marry Moab women, but then the sons die. And so Naomi and the two wives are left. And for any of you that know the situation there, for a widow in those times, it was a terrible place to be, because they would have no means of support. They were completely dependent on their families. And Naomi was in Moab. She had no family support there. What should happen is that Elimelech's family should have then taken her in, and if there was someone for her to marry, they would marry her to enable her to carry on. But she's in Moab and there is nothing. And so she's desperate. And so as she's in Moab, she decides that she's going to go back to Israel. She's heard that the famine has gone now. And so she decides that she's going to go back. But the two daughter-in-laws obviously love Naomi and value her and decide that they want to go back with her. But Naomi says to them, they get part way, she says, no, go back. Go back to your families. At least you've got a chance of marrying, of finding someone else. And so one of the daughter-in-laws goes back, but Ruth decides that she is going to stick with Naomi, she is going to go on. And for her, that was such a big decision, because in going back to Israel, she's turning her back on her whole family. She's leaving everything behind. And not only did she leave her families behind, but she left all her gods behind. And she chose to go with Naomi, and she chose to follow God. And that is sort of the first part of the story. And Naomi comes back a very broken and bitter woman. She says, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, bitterness, because that's what's happened. That's how I feel, empty, broken and bitter. But Ruth goes with her. And when we get to chapter 2 of Ruth, we find this lovely chapter. And I am going to read you some of this. Now there was a wealthy and influential man in Bethlehem named Boaz, who was a relative of Naomi's husband Elimelech. One day Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go out into the harvest fields to pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who is kind enough to let me do it. Naomi replied, all right, my daughter, go ahead. So Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters. And as it happened, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. When she was there, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you, he said. The Lord bless you, the harvesters replied. Then Boaz asked his foreman, who's that young woman over there? Who does she belong to? And the foreman replied, she's the young woman from Moab who came back with Naomi. She asked me this morning if she could gather grain behind the harvesters. She has been hard at work ever since, except for a few minutes' rest in the shelter. Boaz went over and said to Ruth, listen, my daughter, stay right here with us when you gather grain. Don't go to any other fields. Stay right behind the young women working in my field. See which part of the field they are harvesting, and then follow them. I have warned the young men not to treat you roughly, and when you are thirsty, help yourself to the water they have drawn from the well. Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. What have I done to deserve such kindness? She asked. I'm only a foreigner. Yes, I know, Boaz replied, but I also know about everything you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I've heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wing you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done. And so it goes on, and Boaz looks after her. And I love that bit of the chapter, because it's all about it just so happened. It just so happened that she found a field to glean in that just so happened to belong to Boaz, who just so happened to be a relative of Naomi. And he was just an amazing man. He was a well-respected man. He respected his workers. Look at the way that he greeted them when he came to the field. He was kind. He was honourable. The word used to describe him in this passage, I think it's translated in one of the other translations as a man of standing. It's actually the same Hebrew word that's used to describe people like Gideon, which means a man of valour or integrity. And we can see that that was who Boaz was, a man of integrity. And he also obviously had a real regard for God's laws, because he was providing for the poor by allowing them to glean amongst the sheaves. That was one of the things in Deuteronomy when God's laying down the laws and how the Israelites should live. And he says to them, look, when you take your harvest, don't gather everything up. If some of the grain falls to the ground, leave it there and allow the poor to come in and to gather it up so that they have food to eat. And when he discovers who Ruth is, and he's heard about her, and he knows that as a foreigner, she comes even further back in the pecking order, because she comes behind the Israelites. And so he gives that instruction to his men, doesn't he? You know, just pull a few strands out and, you know, leave them, and don't stop her from picking those up. If she wants to take some, let her take it. And he encourages her, and he says, look, follow my workers, follow the girls that are gathering the harvest, stay close to them and gather what you can. So he's got this regard for God's law. And if you notice in there, she starts off when he asks the men who Ruth is, and they said, oh, she's just a Moabite. She's nobody. They didn't even know her name. That when he talks to her, he changes it and he calls her my daughter. That he treats her with that respect. And so it's a lovely picture that we have here of who Boaz is as a man. But even more important is the fact that he's got this close relationship with Elimelech, Naomi's husband. Because under the Israelite laws, they provide, one of the ways that they provide for people is by having a kinsman redeemer, or if you like, a family redeemer. So that if a family fall on hard times, that they don't lose everything. Another member of the family, a close relative, will step in and help out. And usually there are three main responsibilities for a kinsman redeemer. The first one, Leviticus stipulates that if an Israelite becomes so poor that he has to sell his land, a family member was to pay off the debt so the land would remain in the family. Second thing that they had to do was that if an Israelite became so poor that he had to sell himself into debt slavery, that a family redeemer would buy him back or buy the relative back from service if it was to a non-relative. And then the poor Israelite would pay the kinsman redeemer back by working for the family because then they could be expected to be treated better than if they were working as a slave for someone else. And the third thing that the family redeemer did was to pursue justice for an Israelite killed by another's hand. So it was quite a big responsibility for someone to take on. And Naomi realizes that Boaz would be a perfect kinsman redeemer because he had the money, he had the means, and he was an honorable person. And when she realizes that Boaz has noticed Ruth, because Ruth's coming home every day with loads of food, with loads of grain that they can turn into bread. And she's realizing that this is more than anyone would normally be able to glean. And not only that, but Boaz was letting her drink the water and was feeding her when she was in the field. So she realized that, you know, maybe there was something here. So she says to Ruth, Ruth, I think you need a husband. You need someone to look after you. You need someone to protect you and to care for you. And she said, and I think Boaz is the man. And so this is what I want you to do. So this is what happens. She sends Ruth to the threshing floor where Boaz is, and all the workers and that have had eaten and had some drink, and they are now lying down to go to sleep for the night. And she tells her to go in and to lie at Boaz's feet. And so this is what happens, chapter 3. After Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he lay down at the far end of the pile of grain and went to sleep. Then Ruth came quietly, uncovered his feet and lay down. Around midnight, Boaz suddenly woke up and turned over. He was surprised to find a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I'm your servant Ruth," she replied. "Spread the corner of your covering over me, for you are my family redeemer." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," Boaz exclaimed. "You are showing even more family loyalty now than you did before, for you have not gone after a younger man, whether rich or poor. Now don't worry about a thing, my daughter. I will do what is necessary, for everyone in town knows you are a virtuous woman. But while it's true that I am one of your family redeemers, there is another man who is more closely related to you than I am. Stay here tonight, and in the morning I will talk to him. If he is willing to redeem you, very well, let him marry you. But if he is not willing, then as surely as the Lord lives, I will redeem you myself. Now lie down here until the morning." I always think that's quite a good way of making sure that somebody wakes up in the night, isn't it, to uncover their feet. There's nothing worse than cold feet, than having your feet like freezing cold. So you can imagine that Boaz wakes up probably wondering why his feet are so cold. And you can imagine the shock when he turns over and finds that he's got a woman at his feet as well. But although that might seem a little bit scheming. Actually, what Ruth was doing was putting herself in that place where she's saying to him, "Look, you know, you are my redeemer. You are the one that can rescue us, not just her, but Naomi as well." And when it talks about putting the corner, you know, put the corner of your cloth over me. Another way that can be translated is wing. Put your wing over me. And we have that beautiful picture, don't we? Straight away, it sort of reminds me of God saying how he will cover us with his wings, how he will cover us with his feathers like a duck will cover its ducklings, like a bird will cover its young. And she's saying to him, "Look, will you be my protector? Will you be the one that looks after us? Will you be the one that will see that we come to no harm? Will you be the one that will take care of us?" And Boaz responds to that, doesn't he? He responds to Ruth. But because he's an honourable man, he wants to do it properly. There is someone that is a closer relative that really has the first right to redeem them as a family and redeem Elimelech's lands and everything that goes with it. But when we think about that story, there are other parallels to that, aren't there? When we think about Boaz as this kinsman redeemer. Because in this story, we can see ourselves, you know, people that have been far away from God, who have been poor, desolate, in need of a redeemer. That's like us, isn't it? Before we came to know God, that was who we were. We needed God. We'd wandered away from him. And we owed him more than we could ever pay back. But God, in his mercy, wanted to provide a redeemer for us. And he wanted to provide a kinsman redeemer, a family relative. That's what a kinsman redeemer is, a family relative. He wanted to provide someone who could redeem us. And Jesus is our kinsman redeemer, because when Jesus came, he came as a human being. He came as one of us. He is the nearest redeemer that is to us. He took on human flesh. And he was willing to redeem us. That's why he came. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." So just as in that story that Boaz came and redeemed Ruth, Jesus has come and redeemed us. And this little story, we know that Boaz is able to redeem back Ruth and Naomi's lands, and they marry, and he has a son. They have a son called Obed. And then right at the end of Ruth, we have this little genealogy that says, Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nashon. Nashon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz. Boaz was the father of Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. So from that story of hopelessness, of a family in exile, a family that really couldn't have got any lower, God redeems all that back. And not only that, but it means that in that line of genealogy for Jesus, that there is a foreigner in there, someone who is not Jewish, someone that's in there that represents us, those of us that are not Jewish, that God draws us in as well as the Jewish people. And there in that genealogy, we see that this little four chapters in the middle of the Old Testament, and we see God at work. And when we look at that, if God can do that, what can he do in our lives? You know, maybe you've been through really tough times and you look at it and you think, I need God to come in to redeem this situation because I'm not able to do this. I'm in debt. I've lost everything. I need someone to come in and redeem this. In this story, God has provided that redemption for us in Jesus. He is our Redeemer. And isn't that just wonderful to know? That we have to have this longer view. Sometimes we only see what's right in front of us. We only see what's there in the immediate. But actually, in the Bible, we're always encouraged, you know, look ahead, look forward, look at what's to come. Don't just look at your circumstances now, but look ahead. Look at what God is able to do. We might not be able to see what he's going to do, but we need to trust him. Just like Ruth was able to trust Boaz, we need to trust Jesus that he can redeem whatever our situations are that we find ourselves in. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you for this beautiful story, one that is a story of love and a story of redemption. And Lord, thank you that that's one little story, but that's not the end of the story. That actually you have come to be our one Redeemer, the one that would step in to our lives, step into our situations, and that you have come and you have redeemed us from that place of darkness, from that place of sin, from that place where we were separated from you, and you've brought us to yourself and you've covered us with your wings. Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we just ask that whatever situation people are in, whatever situation we find ourselves facing, that Lord, that we would be able to trust you and know that you have redeemed all things. Lord, thank you. Amen.